to live righteously.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It's articles of news for the week of the 17th of August. Some kids go back to school today, not mine.
My kids go back to school at all weird times.
Because of year-round?
Yeah, I have some who have already started, one that is now off track, another who's in school, and another who starts next week.
Do they not put all kids on the same track?
They usually do, but my two children who are in elementary school, one of them got into the Chinese immersion program.
That's only in one particular track.
Right, and the other one is not in the Chinese immersion program.
So why not put them all on the same track?
Because there's no non-Chinese class for my older child to be in.
And the older child couldn't get in the...
Because you have to start in first grade. So,
son of a... Yeah. Or however you say son of a in Chinese. Oh, yeah. Ding dong. I don't know. That wasn't
not
to
offend any Chinese people who may be listening.
I was trying to speak the language. I wasn't trying to be offensive.
Sure.
So, I probably was offensive, but I wasn't trying to be offensive.
It's actually good because... The schedule. Because even though I am driving around like all the time, I'm getting one-on-one time with my kids because they're all not in school at different times from each other.
Right.
And they're not fighting.
They hate it.
I hate the fighting when they've been off track in the past. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, middle of winter, you're stuck in the house. They're just fighting. So now, no one's, aside from like Christmas break and spring break and the couple weeks in July, no one's off at the same time.
So, but do you get, like, how do you plan vacations then?
You take somebody out of school.
Yeah?
That's the only way to do it.
But then what about, so let me ask you this then. So what if Johnny is at school today and Timmy and Sally are not in school today?
You clearly know my children's names.
Sure.
Yeah.
But since Timmy and Sally, they're not in school today, you take them to the water park.
Well, how do you do that?
Not
like this week. Mm-hmm. Is my 1 week where my middle schooler hasn't started yet and my first grader is off track. Mm-hmm. So I only have one in school this week.
Right.
So we're going to take him out of school to go to Lagoon this week.
Okay. So like if you do the big things, but are there not small things that would make one kid mad where it's like, oh, you guys got pizza today?
We try not to tell them.
Okay.
Yeah, we do.
All right.
I'll be like, okay, so we're going to... So, for example, a couple of weeks ago, my daughter and I went to a movie together. Mm-hmm. We got popcorn.
Oh, you guys
got
to go to a movie.
No, so then I said, I'll take you to the movie if you promise not to tell the other kids that
That's
we went
secrets.
To a movie. I know.
That's awful, isn't it?
No, it's doesn't keeps it,
but,
the peace.
But doesn't it...
Because I'm doing the same thing with them, with all of them.
Okay.
They all are getting opportunities, but... You know, my first grader in particular would really be like, why'd you guys get to go to a movie?
Right.
So we just don't tell her.
Because, like, I remember I was doing, like, scout stuff in the summertime, and my family went to Magic Waters, which used to be a thing here in Utah.
Right?
And is now
I remember Magic Waters.
Now it's like an RV lot
or
people's homes.
It kind of felt like an RV lot even when it was Magic Waters. Yeah.
But I remember I went to, like, a scout day camp, and I came home, and they had all not gotten home from Magic Waters, and I was like, wait! I didn't know that it was an option.
Right.
I would have not gone to day camp for the Boy Scouts.
Yep. And then it makes each one feel special, like they get to do the cool thing that the other kids don't know about.
Yeah. Until they find out that they're getting screwed.
They're not getting screwed. They're getting equal opportunity secrets. In fact, it's really good because my husband is making a special effort to take time off at least one time each one of them is out of school to do a one-on-one date with each of them.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
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 Not that it's not cool when mom does it, but when dad takes off work.
Right.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Or when mom takes off work.
Or he'll take off, you know, a half day or something. Yeah. But we noticed that we tend to lump the kids all together and they're not getting a lot of personal time. So we're trying to really take advantage of these breaks.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
People should do that even if their kids aren't in the Chinese immersion program.
It's true.
What else is new?
I don't want to bore anybody with all my boring stories.
Oh,
so
please don't talk about the grocery store again.
No, really, I've just been doing a lot of like going to stuff that I think is cool, but not very noteworthy. Took our kids to the Kelly Clarkson concert.
Cool.
That was fun. Pentatonix, which was actually almost cooler than Kelly.
One Mormon and Pentatonix.
Really?
Yeah.
Which one?
I don't know.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. So we did that. And then I went with a friend down to the Shakespeare Festival last week.
Super cool.
Way cool. My
What'd
favorite.
You see? Lear?
We saw King Lear, which is my
in the
favorite.
Adams, which they're going to tear down.
Yes. And so we also saw Taming of the Shrew. And then in the, what's the other?
The Jones.
Jones. Yeah.
Theater.
We saw a farce called Charlie's Aunt, which was hilarious. It was so good. And then over the weekend, we went to Boise for a family reunion.
Yeah.
So I've just been bopping around.
Yeah, all over the place.
Yeah.
World traveler.
That's right. World traveler.
Yeah, Boise and Cedar
City. Yep.
World traveler. That's good. Good for you. I'm going to try and do a day trip down to the Shakespeare Festival,
cool.
see the afternoon show, and then see the evening show, and
yes.
then drive back in the middle of the night
do
and
it.
Hope not to die.
Do it.
I'm trying to see if there's anything that has been exciting for me in the last little while. Probably not so much. Kid goes back to school next week, so that's a big deal. He's been driving himself, so that's been awesome. But I'm trying to think if there...
You look fantastic, by the way.
Stop it.
I'm not kidding. Like, when I see pictures of you, I'm like, he looks like...
Healthy and maybe happy?
Like 10 years younger than he did when I met him, which was 5 years ago, six years ago.
Thank you.
You could pass now for the missionary that you played when when we did the show together.
Mission the Musical. Hey, look who it is.
Yay.
It's our old friend, Molly. Jenny. Melly.
Jelly.
Melly.
Melly. Not much jelly about her.
No, not any jelly about her.
I don't know what that means.
It means you're not fat. That's what that means.
Thank you.
Yeah, because we would tell you if you were, but you're not.
No, we wouldn't tell
you. I would.
No.
I absolutely
okay, don't
would.
Tell me.
Okay.
Okay.
That's fair.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
But I'm glad that you let me know, because otherwise I would have.
I know. Thank
it's
you.
It's like when Janae looked like death. I let her know that she
but
looked
she
like
did
death.
Look like death.
Compared to how Janae normally looks, did that picture look like death or
no,
not?
No, I did not
even
not
a little
see
bit.
It. No.
A little.
No.
She had makeup on
Zero.
And everything.
A little deathy.
No.
Zero death.
Like, it was the filter.
Like none.
She hasn't bled out yet.
Oh, my God.
Like, kind of dying, but not. No?
No.
Nope.
All right. Well, I'm glad I got this. Good. 2-on-1. Let's bring this on. What's new?
Are we doing articles of news or are we doing
we're
the
doing
other
articles
thing?
Of news
okay.
Right now.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we're just talking about what's new and exciting.
Oh, well, I had a wonderful weekend in the big city.
Which is sort of weird. Can I say this?
Please.
You spent the entire weekend this weekend in Salt Lake, but you only live in Provo. For people who don't know the distance difference, it's like 40 minutes, right?
It is like 40 minutes.
And you stayed in a hotel.
I did.
Friday night?
Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night.
And Sunday night. Which is a little bit of a cost. You had a perfectly good house down
in Provo.
Provo.
I sure do.
So I want to know, because
yep.
there's got to be something behind it. Why would you do that?
Honestly?
Uh-huh.
Since my divorce...
Oh, I didn't know.
I know. It's weird. Since my divorce, not only since it was finalized, but since like the proceedings have been in motion, and actually a long time before that, I have spent... Well, yeah. Every time my kids are gone, I spend the weekend at home being responsible and doing, you know, organizing and
sure.
working and cleaning. You know,
going
just
through these things. And,
all the
oh,
things.
We've got this coming up, and I need to make sure that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, like a single mom does.
Right.
And not to say that I didn't. I did work. I'm lucky that my job allows me to work remotely, so I did work this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But I had had my kids the previous 3 weekends in a row. And school starts for my kids this week.
Like today? They went back today?
No, Wednesday they
okay.
go back. Wednesday and Thursday, depending on the kid. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to get out of town. Now, that all being said, and yes, there was a cost, but I got really like super stupid good deals.
Good.
Let me finish.
Okay.
All right, Saturday.
No one's stopping you. I know, because I didn't start. Saturday would have been my 18th anniversary.
Oh, so that's what it was.
Well, no, wait, though. But I didn't say anything about that because I don't want people to be like, oh, see, she misses her marriage and she's just
no,
so
I don't
sad.
Think that's the case at
okay,
all.
Okay, good. I hope
not. Talk for 2 seconds with you. But I know no matter what, even with my parents, because my parents made it, I think, about 18 years, 19 years maybe,
mm-hmm.
that even still, and they've been divorced for... 20 years, there is that brief moment of thought that occurs on that day where they go, huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not like it is by no means that neither my father or my mother are going, you know what, who I really want to be back with.
Right. Like this was not a mourning with
no.
you. you know, trip. It was, and but then it's funny because the more I thought about it this weekend, also, we never did anything to celebrate our anniversary.
You and
my ex. Mm-hmm. In fact, we were physically apart for half, at least probably, of our anniversaries. And anyway, so I just decided that I was going to do something for myself. And it was really refreshing and wonderful. Like, I just saw a lot of people that I love, got to spend some time with people.
Everyone you love has beards. That's what I noticed.
Oh, with the pictures?
Yeah.
Do they?
You I think they all look like hipsters. That's what I... Of all the dudes that you shared me, that you put out on social media, and hopefully you can get a picture to Anna for our Instagram.
Well, I'm wondering which ones do, because...
Did you dance like you were 22 all weekend? Was that...
Two!
Yeah. Because she dressed like, hipsters and make fun of your exes, right? That's what you did?
What?
Just kidding.
It's make a Taylor fun. Swift song.
Oh. Okay.
22 is what it's called. It's Taylor Swift.
I have a 12-year-old girl.
I've heard that song, but I just don't know the lyrics.
She's not very big yet.
Oh.
You'll hear about her soon.
Soon? Great. Great. Well, one of my friends, maybe this gentleman?
Yeah. He's one.
Yeah, his name's Josh, and he and I have what we call Divorce Club.
Okay.
We are both interested in men, and we get together and talk about the men we have.
Do you call dibs?
We don't have the same taste.
Oh, really?
People, yeah.
Okay. Like, you like straight guys?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Quite.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. This guy doesn't have a beard.
No.
No.
He's not allowed.
Huh. But I did a lot of just kind of, I didn't have plans per se. I had like some options of what to do.
Did you cry?
Did I cry?
Yeah.
I cried one time, but not for what you would think.
Okay.
Yeah. That was private.
Okay.
That was last night. And let's see.
Cool. Allusions to heartbreak.
You're welcome. Hey, you want to have the divorce panel? We got to
listen.
Get there.
I know. We'll get there.
But it wasn't about that. Saturday night, I went to a theater on the campus of the University of Utah in Salt Lake and attended something called the Big Gay Broadway Sing-Along.
Uh-huh.
It was so fun. I almost didn't go. The very last second I decided to go, and it was so fun. You should have been there.
Oh, I know. She sent me a text message in capital letters that said, I'm at the Big Gay Broadway Sing-Along and you should be here.
Yep.
No exclamation points, but all capitalized letters.
Yeah, we don't have time for punctuation, just yelling.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. There is no time for punctuation.
Yeah.
We're at my house today real quick, so I should mention my kid is sneaking. You can get ice. You can get ice. That Mountain Dew is really hot. Okay. So he's sneaking around. We've never, with anyone on the panel, I think, ever done an episode.
I've never been here.
House.
I had to call him from my phone and say, do you have a welcome sign on your door? Because I can't see the number on your house. So then he had to open the door and be like, this is my house.
Yeah.
Just like that.
The vinyl lettering.
The vinyl
welcome,
lettering, yeah.
It was here before we got here.
Yeah, right.
That wasn't our choice.
Mm-hmm.
And the...
It comes off.
Yeah, but the problem is it's been on there so long that
the
now
door
the
would
wood...
be faded.
Yeah, it's faded underneath. So we just leave it. But we've let the plants overgrow the house number so people can't know where our house is.
Oh, right.
Home teachers.
Right.
Mailmen.
Yeah. I know you don't like people.
Crazy fans, paparazzi. Yeah.
Crazy lifers or converts knocking on the door. Cats and dogs living together.
Mass hysteria.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I hope that that's in the new Ghostbusters, too.
Oh,
I would love that little nod.
How could it not be?
I would love that little nod, but I don't think it will be.
Shoot.
Sorry. So, Big Gay Sing-Along, crazy great?
Oh, it was so good. It was so good. It was just a lot of fun. I mean, if you like Broadway, if you like singing, and you know, yeah, a lot of singing and dancing. So when you asked if I danced, not realizing you were alluding to a Taylor Swift song, probably. I did dance at the...
Did you dance like you were 22 or just...
Well, I don't...
Your same age?
You know, when I was 22... No, I had my oldest daughter a week after I turned 22, so I think I was...
You probably dance better
differently.
Now. Yeah,
I dance way better now. But Saturday night I did a ton of dancing.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Anything else? Do we
need to? Yeah, a ton, but we don't need to talk about
okay.
it.
Okay. Well, I'm...
I'm really sensitive to this.
Everyone both here and listening that's a panel member and everyone else should know, and I think we've mentioned it enough, that people have said, hey, a 45-minute introduction to the then 10-minute articles of news is not an articles of news make. I'm not... When I say, is that all that's going on, I'm not minimalizing people's lives, saying, oh, so that's all you've got going on, just that little bit, that sure. kind of stuff. That's not what I'm
saying.
And
I don't feel minimalized by you, but I'm sensitive to people like Kate, who let us know that she doesn't like it. However, I do take into account people like my friend Zach, who completely disagrees and says that he loves it. I mean, he commutes from Provo to Salt Lake on the train and feels like we're all his friends, even yeah. though I'm the only one that he knows.
Right.
Hey, Zach.
Hey.
Right?
What, so Zach and I aren't friends?
Well, no, you are friends. In fact, yeah. he was going to come today, but he's helping me out with something else later, and he couldn't make it and whatever. Oh. Yeah, I have an
Tell
event
me more
for
about
today.
That in 20 minutes long.
Okay, so
So
job.
How do we know Zach? And what are we... I don't actually care.
Yeah. yeah. It's fine.
No, but so there has been some discussion as to keeping the introduction to articles of news at a little bit shorter than longer. And,
sure.
And I'll say this. I love the panel, and I love when they have something genuinely, and I feel like I can tell when people are like, cool, I had this awesome weekend, this is what's going on, and you talking about your kids and spending, that's interesting. But I also can tell you, and maybe I just need to start calling people out on it a little bit more, when they feel like they need to say something, because everyone else is saying something, and so they're going back through their mind going, what have I got, what have I got, well, I'll try this. And it's like, no, you don't have to. You don't have to have something.
Right. This is a weekend. As I was driving up here, I was like, oh, I have a lot to say, but I need to cut it down.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know. But yeah, I...
because Kate.
Because thanks, Kate.
Thanks a lot, Kate. You ruined it.
So I think we should just spend the remainder of the 45-minute introduction talking about Kate.
Yeah. Or other emails like this one that I got.
Go.
This is from Steve.
Hey.
On the last show in podcast form, thank you, Steve, you mentioned that you didn't watch rated R movies. Speaking to me. Well, I wasn't going to write this email, but
good.
The prompting was just so strong. I would be remiss if I didn't write you here today and share a few things
really?
That make my movie watching experience a little more wholesome. What?
He'd be remiss. I think he did that on purpose.
Fine.
Yeah. There are two problems with movies for Latter-day Saints. First, you've got the whole sex, violence, and profanity scenes. And then there are the gotcha moments where you thought you were safe with a PG-13, but whoops, wardrobe malfunction, unexpected decapitation, or shiz bombs. Which, by the way, might be my favorite thing I've heard in a long time.
So is that referring to swearing or...
I think it's the shiz bomb.
The shiz bomb.
Whatever. There are two solutions that I use, and they work pretty well for me, writes Steve. The first I've used for years, and it's a website that I'm not affiliated with. Don't worry, I'm not trying to make money. Called kidsinmind.com. Kids-in-mind.com. They got the website from the DJ Rob camp
right.
of websites. What I like about that is that they are more concerned with telling what is in the movie rather than what you should think about the movie. They leave that up to you. They rate each movie on sex, violence, and profanity on a scale of 1 to 10, and then have a synopsis of every scene that earned that particular rating.
So you can get like a 10 on sex?
Yeah.
Both sex scenes were 10.
Yeah, so
10.
if you're looking for your sex scenes that come in at a 10, there you go. It's a great site to pass along, and he says, I even have their app on my phone. So that may be valuable to some people.
Yeah.
If they want to know, it's rated R, why is it rated R? Sex, okay, I can go watch that. I'm not going to watch violence. Okay, I can watch violence, but I can't watch sex, whatever the thing is. The second, continues Steve, is a little newer, and I'm glad I found them because I was a big ClearPlay fan for years, but now I have VidAngel. And again, he says, I have no affiliation with this company. He says, I have VidAngel installed on my Roku, and I'm digging it. You can go through and customize the entire movie. For instance, you can allow the J. Golden Kimball swear words, but ban all the words of perdition. Or as I like to call them, the celestial swear words, and you can keep the terrestrial or telestial swear words. We watch all our movies on VidAngel. Their rental model is a little odd, but it works. The net effect is about $2 a rental for each movie, which ain't too shabby, right, Steve? I want to leave some time for everyone else, so I'll leave these things with you and hope they do you the good that you need, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. So I assume that these, you have to choose movies that have already been screened through VidAngel, right?
I suppose.
Like it can't just, you can't stick any old DVD that you have and then it'll pick
my
those
guess
things
is that
up.
This service is probably registered most of these DVDs.
Right.
So unless you're going super obscure, you probably would be able to do it.
Okay.
This, well, that one. Yeah, I'll save that one. Let me see. There was one other email.
Can I tell you another thing?
Yes, please.
From the weekend?
Yeah.
I went to Music and the Spoken Word.
Oh, on Sunday morning?
Yeah.
At the Temple Square. Not Temple Square, because mm-hmm. that's not a thing.
Yeah, at the conference center.
How was it?
It was really good. Have you gone to it?
I have not gone have to you, it
I
for...
I think we should all go.
I really do, too.
It's like one of yeah. of those things where like people will travel a long way to come do it, and it's like right next to where I live, and I've never done it. Because I could do it at any time, but I never
have.
Take
it for granted.
Yeah, I'd yeah. like to.
Brother Eubank, is that his name, the weather guy?
Uh-huh, Mark
okay.
Eubank.
Yeah, so he was, when I got there, he was kind of announcing, you know, just making some announcements.
We're going to have a high pressure system today.
he was not doing the weather.
high of
he
around
probably
92.
Doesn't work on the Sabbath.
Oh.
Womp womp. I do. I don't care. Yeah. he was acknowledging people, like Joni said, who are visiting from far and wide. The head of the FDA in Spain and his wife were there.
Sure.
A visiting group of law students from Russia or something.
Cool.
Yeah. But they, you know, I'll just stand up and, for applause. And then Brother Newell comes out, Lloyd Newell.
He's the voice.
He's the spoken word.
Yeah.
And he... have we interviewed him?
No, we haven't.
I love
but he's
him.
Awesome.
I love him. He was one of my
fellow
professors,
ginger, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I took a class at a school in Provo.
He was a what?
A professor.
A professor of your class?
Of a class that I took, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and he's wonderful. He lived for a time in the area where I grew up, actually, in my state, back east.
There was a guy in my singles ward that mm-hmm. sounded exactly like him.
Really?
Yeah, it was cool. So back when I had to make terrible announcements right after sacrament meeting for the singles ward, I got the guy who sounded exactly like Lloyd Newell to help me with some announcements. Promptly released right after I did that.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it was great. It's just a half hour.
What'd you cry? You said you cried. During the song, there was a song that you knew they were going to sing.
No, oh, don't we talk can't about go it? There. We can't go there.
Okay.
Hold nope. On. Too much.
She's getting Hold there.
On. After the program was done, it's just a half hour. It's a live broadcast.
Usually
and they
a
tell
theme,
you,
right? They kind of do
Well, yeah. And Brother Noel writes, you know, the spoken word. And I think they try to kind of... organize the theme of the songs around what he writes.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, what he said was really good. I'm actually going to use it for family home evening with my kids.
Cool.
But they also had a guest artist,
mm-hmm.
Alex Sharp, Alexandria Sharp, Alex Sharp, Sharp with no E at the end is a Tony Award winning actor from Curious Incident. But this was Alexandria Sharp also, actually she's not British. She's, Irish or Scottish or something, and she's a singer. She was beautiful. She was a soloist with the choir, so they had that going on too. And it's just a half hour, and they tell you not to record anything. I totally recorded something, and no applause. And then as soon as the half hour is done, then everyone applauds. But then they bring out the guest, who is Alexandria Sharp with an E at the end, and they sang "God Be With You Till We Meet Again," which mm-hmm. is what the choir does. That's their song.
Yeah, they
right?
always do that.
Right? Yeah.
It's standard.
Uh-huh. And so they did it, but Brother Wilberg, is that the
Mac Wilberg, yeah.
The conductor. He was not conducting. He was standing kind of downstage right, and all of the orchestra at Temple Square members had their instruments on their laps.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they all just sang it.
I'm so embarrassed.
Hey, don't be.
Don't be embarrassed.
A cappella. And, I mean, with no one conducting,
just the way they held certain chords was wonderful. That was a song that was sung at my son's graveside service when he passed away. So it just takes me by surprise. I was expecting them to actually sing it at the end of the broadcast, but then I realized, well, when I listen to the broadcast, the reason I hear it is because it's a recording of what they do as the credits roll, you know, if you're watching it on TV or whatever.
Right.
But they do. They actually sing it, and it was just magnificent. So it didn't surprise me that they sang it. It did surprise me that the orchestra also sang it. It surprised me that they weren't being conducted, and it surprised me that I cried, because you'd think, well, maybe you wouldn't think that after all this time I'd be okay.
No, I wouldn't think.
Good. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Anyway.
I guess one other thing, and then we'll take a break. We'll come back with some actual articles of news.
Did you have any more email?
I do. I'll pass on it.
Okay.
Because we can bring it up in news, and it'll be okay. But I do want to share one other thing. Hopefully you're following the Cultural Hall on Facebook. And this last week...
Holy moly.
Had the opportunity to... So this is two parts. This is a tease. This week's episode, Lex de Azevedo. And the reason why this correlates with the fact that you should like us on Facebook is Lex talks about Saturday's Warrior, about how he wrote it in 1970s, and that if he would have known that that would be the thing that he would be most known for in his life, he probably would have spent more time on it. That's what he sort of said about it.
Hmm.
Knowing that what we posted this last week on the Cultural Hall's Facebook page, if I would have thought any more about it than just... Well, this will be kind of fun, and we'll put it out there. It, if you haven't seen it yet, go to theculturalhall.com or the Cultural Hall on Facebook. It's why as a bishop I'm not going to sporting events anymore. 12 mm-hmm. reasons why I as a bishop I'm not going to sporting events anymore. Just thought it was kind of a clever thing. We adapted it for the Cultural Hall and posted it, and it has been. Ridiculous. When I look
right. Firestorm?
Well, not only a firestorm like, hey, you know, I disagree with this, or this hurts my feelings, or this is great, I've heard these all the time, or do you really think this is why people leave the church, etc. All of that. But the scope of people, the amount of people that have seen that. Right before we started, I looked at it, and it was like 172,000 people. By far the biggest thing that we've ever done and shared. And I honestly gave about 5 seconds of thought to it. I was like, hey, this is good. We'll adapt it. Janae made the graphic done. And I thought, oh, that'll be kind of fun, and we'll put it out there for a little bit. Nope. It's been really fun. It's been great conversation starting for a lot of people. And I think we may even try to adapt an episode out of it. But huge.
Struck a nerve somehow.
And I think pretty funny, too. If you can take it in the right spirit. If you're taking it going, oh, we're coming at people for not going to church anymore, then you're in the wrong spirit of what we intended. It was just sort of a funny thing. Anyway, check that out. Facebook.com/TheCulturalHall. Back with articles of news in just a minute.
Hi, this is Dan, the Laptop Man from PC Laptops in Salt Lake City. Many of our customers are computer experts with decades of experience that are so smart they know how to build their own computers with their own bare hands. Yet they buy their computers from PC Laptops because of one thing. The PC Laptops Desktop Lifetime Parts and Labor Warranty. If a video card blows up, normally you'd have to mail it to Chumbawamba for weeks to get service. Imagine having your computer down for weeks. Experts buy from PC Laptops because time is money. And if you have a part fail on your PC Laptops desktop, we will replace it forever for free. Get a brand new PC Laptops desktop for just $7.99 with a lifetime warranty at any PC Laptops locations. While supplies last, $7.99, you can't beat that deal. Please visit us at any one of our locations right now. Call us at 1-877-596-SAVE or check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. Desktop computers with a lifetime warranty for just $7.99.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Time for the second half of Articles of News, wherein we talk about actual articles of news. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose Articles of News.
I'll start here. Go to theculturalhall.com. We'll probably share this on Facebook as well, but Lindsey Stirling might be my new favorite person. I don't know if you guys have seen this yet.
I did, yeah.
But she just barely put this out yesterday on her Instagram, and it's a picture of her getting ready for the Teen Choice Awards. And she's picked out her dress for this year's Teen Choice Awards. For people that remember all the flack that... I don't think it was Teen Choice Awards.
I don't think it was either.
It was some other award ceremony.
I think it was like the MTV Music Awards or something like that. It was a music awards ceremony. Yeah.
And she wore something that, although it wasn't her skin, there was skin toned. And people thought, oh man, that's immodest for her to wear. What she has... Are you looking at the picture now? Isn't it great? She's got a dress, which undoubtedly is her dress because it's cute and it's totally Lindsey Stirling-esque. But then underneath her dress, brilliant. She's got a pair of slacks, and underneath her pair of slacks, she's got
like
socks.
Like a turtleneck. And, yeah.
Nailed it.
So, she looks like she's wearing like ankle to wrist to chin baby doll dress. Like...
And I want her to have an umbrella with that outfit, right? And be walking in like England. That's what that outfit
like
kind
with
of reminds
parasol.
Me of.
This is very Pygmalion.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of, right?
Yep. If it were just a little like more threadbare.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But an amazing job to Lindsey Stirling, who I just absolutely love. Great dress. Great
Bravo.
Dress picture. That's my leading story. What do you got?
What do I got?
Excellent question. I can go again.
No, I got one. Okay, so this was something that I thought was really interesting. Did you know that your family's genealogical records may have been digitized by a prisoner?
Oh, yeah, this program is interesting. There's a couple parts of this program, too. I don't know if I want to talk about one part of it, but go ahead.
Is this the new license plating?
No.
Sort of, yeah. So the story says, 20 miles outside Salt Lake City, a massive man-made bunker known as the Vault, the Pentaveret, stretches nearly 700 feet into a mountain of granite. Sealed behind colossal doors designed to survive a nuclear attack, the climate-controlled cavern is home to the world's largest collection of genealogical records, 3.5 billion at last count. That's a lot. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has been collecting these records since the late 1800s, so its members may identify and posthumously baptize ancestors who might then join them in the afterlife. The public is not allowed inside the vault, but many of the holdings, which include everything from U.S. census records to Jamaican marriage certificates, are available for free on the Church's Family Search website, which has information on more than 4 billion people. So basically, they go on to say that all this information is available, but it can't be searched until it's been digitized. And they don't have enough volunteers within the church to do so. People will come and do a little bit here, a little bit there. The church has tapped into a more consistent source of labor prisoners. For about a decade, the Mormons have enlisted inmates, and I'm getting a phone call, one moment.
Explains
Paul Starkey. Yes, I think everything is okay. Prisoners who get a job scanning government documents earn between 60 cents and $1.75 an hour.
Which is good for prison wages, everyone who's about to go after them saying, well, what about?
Sure. Last year, inmates supervised by missionaries processed 7.5 million archived records. So this is a fairly long article, kind of just explaining the process and how it came about. But I just thought it was really interesting that the indexing project has expanded to jails across Utah, Idaho, and Arizona. And it said, Judson said that, Mormon or no, the main reason inmates sign up to digitize old records is the good feeling that comes from it. He also recalls asking an inmate why he participated in the program. The inmate replied, I would have done anything to get out of my cell.
Yeah. A great resource in the people.
Yeah, I just thought that was really, like, fascinating.
You guys on Twitter?
Sure.
Yeah, on the Twitter?
Yeah. The Cultural Hall is, of course, at the Cultural Hall.
Do you ever get these emails? I'm going to show you guys from my inbox here. Do you know, do you know such and such on Twitter?
Right.
And I just pulled up this email from, like, last December that I have. Do you know David A. Bednar,
sure.
Thomas S. Monson on Twitter? Like, have I heard of those guys?
Yeah.
You know, there's an article.
Have you?
No.
Okay. They're apostles and the prophet. Elder Bednar, future prophet.
You think?
President
really?
Monson, current prophet. Yeah. Statistically speaking, he's 62% likely to be the prophet in his lifetime.
Hmm. Should I drop something? No, I won't drop it.
No.
Okay.
So you do know them.
Mormon leaders many leaders of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints are sharing counsel and experiences on Twitter, Facebook, and Google Plus. Their messages touch on a variety of topics, the most important being the centrality of Jesus Christ in church teachings and the lives of everyday Latter-day Saints. So, essentially, you can follow at Thomas S. Monson.
Here's the skeptical thing for me.
That they're not tweeting?
And that they're not doing it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no. Come on.
But I feel like they could.
Right.
And would it
be so bad if Elder Bednar were to be like, so grateful to be at church today, but man, it was hard to stay awake. Or like, something that humanizes them just a little bit, because that's what we do on our Twitter accounts is
things that make us
things
human.
Tell the truth to strangers.
Yeah. And
Facebook's where you lie to your family and friends, and Twitter's where you tell the truth to strangers.
And LinkedIn, sure, I'll endorse you. I'll endorse that.
Yeah, what? Public speaking, yep.
Or even if it didn't show any type of mortal failing, but just if it were in some kind of language that seemed like a regular person, that wasn't just like something that could, any snippet that could be directly cut and pasted from a church manual. Like something that, I was so glad to have done this thing today.
Or
in the hot temperature.
And then it's like Elder Bednar is like, I really love my wife. And it's just a picture of his wife. Like something
right.
that doesn't even have to be like that.
Right. So, something about him specifically.
Mm-hmm. So this article that we'll have linked on theculturehall.com, it gives some examples. So you've got some tweets here from President Monson. We truly need him every hour, whether they be hours of sunshine or of rain.
Which is great.
Right. He didn't hashtag moisture. That's okay. We don't need him to... we teach him about hashtags later.
A great quote, and I don't want anyone to come after us
No, it is great.
Oh, you don't appreciate it.
No, not at all. What I'm saying
is,
you look at these things and you're like, oh, well, these are excerpts from talks. Mm-hmm. However, keep scrolling. Now, Twitter... 140 characters, there's a limit, but there are ways to expand, go to a different link and have longer tweets.
Sure.
Here's one from July 19th.
Never mind.
This isn't from Twitter. This is a Facebook post, though. From President Nelson.
Okay.
Now, he's a surgeon, but he also is, I think he's got perfect pitch. He's a very talented musician. I would like to comment on a song in our hymn book. The text of How Great Thou Art was first written by a young minister in Sweden. His name was Carl Gustav Boberg. He was only 25 years old. After attending a church meeting, he walked 2 miles along the southeastern coast of Sweden in a thunderstorm. The experience inspired him to write the words, which were later translated into English by Stuart K. Hine. And then he goes on. And now, maybe I'll get called out and, duh, Jenny, that is from a talk. But the way he started it out, I would like to comment on a song in our hymn book. Awesome.
Right.
Great.
Genuine.
Have your secretary dictate it and put it down. But those seem like more that they would, just maybe even the way they're phrased, that they are genuinely his thoughts. So
I have for a long time thought I know that will never happen, but I would love to have a Cultural Hall interview with an apostle and just be like, hey, so what do you like to eat?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, I saw a picture of President Monson in, you know, regular clothing, not a suit, mm-hmm. once. Someone had taken a picture of him out with his family or something. And it was very jarring to me. Not that it felt like there was anything wrong, but I'm so used to not thinking of him as an actual person who goes about daily activities. In my mind, he sleeps in his suit and only says, you know, the prophetic word of God things, at every time, you know. And it was endearing for me to see him as a person in like a polo shirt, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't know if it would in any way be detrimental to his image. I know that they are very careful about the image that they portray as far as the leadership of the church. But personally, for me, I really like it when I get to see them as people as well. So my personal preference would be that on Twitter and Facebook, we get a little bit of
Sister Burton.
Yeah, Sister Burton,
yeah,
thrown
right.
out
throwing
the first
out the ball.
But she's wearing a skirt.
Yep. And talking about her opportunity to do that.
It'll get there, maybe. Maybe that's what it is. Because, I mean, you hate to go...
I'm not being critical.
Yeah, but...
You
go
cool.
a little generational a little bit.
Sure.
And you think about people that are the age of President Monson or President Nelson and go, okay, that makes sense.
I bet Sister Oscarson does her own.
Yeah?
Yeah. I bet she does.
Sister Burton, too?
Probably. Maybe.
But I'm thinking maybe a younger generation thing. I would be curious to know what Elder Bednar has put out where he's...
I just sent a text message to my source. Yeah. I know a guy. But yeah, go to theculturalhall.com. I know, pick it up. Get your shovel. But go to theculturalhall.com and check out these, you know, these tweets, these Facebook posts. And not to say that an excerpt from a talk is a bad thing. I mean, that's a lot of what... you know, what we do when we live tweet General Conference.
Sure.
The cultural, you know, at the Cultural Hall during all the sessions. And they're good thoughts. They're worth repeating and worth reading. So anyway.
I think any public figure does a really good job of vetting what public information can. You know, it's not even just about being a leader of the church. Celebrities and politicians, they all make sure that the things that come out of, you know, under their voice on their Twitter or whatever, well, not all of them, but a lot of them are not exposing their actual deep, dark feelings either. It's very calculated as to what is revealed in the persona that they're putting forth. So it's not so much just leadership of the church. I get that when you're a public figure, you got to be careful about your image, but I just think it would be cool to know something besides straight doctrine about the church leadership.
Going back real quick.
Yeah.
We're talking about Lindsay Sterling. There's another article that's at theculturalhall.com that I was going to share about her. You can find it because it's probably just a better thing to have read, but it talks about how she's able to maintain her faith, or not necessarily maintain her faith, but it's her faith that keeps her safe in the performing industry. But I thought that this was interesting. So you can find that whole article at theculturalhall.com. It was in the Independent. But this first paragraph is sort of baffling to me. The term self-made artist has never applied more than it does to Lindsay Sterling. Right? That's not surprising to us. We all know that, you know, she just started doing YouTube videos, whatever. She got started by taking a class on how to create a career on the web. That's how she got started.
Hmm.
That to me is, I just think, the fascinating thing. It's like, oh, hey, I'm going to start a class. And now she travels literally the world around and has millions of followers and all this thing. And all it was that she went to a class and went, huh, I'm going to take this class. Inspirational, perhaps. All right. So what? We've got that one. That's my kid.
Hey. Can we do this?
Oh, yeah, let's actually hang on that
right.
one.
Okay.
There's a new show. Have you guys heard about Quantico?
That's what I'm going to see.
Do it.
Okay, So there is a new show called Quantico. It's
Virginia?
About... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Quantico is where they train FBI agents, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's going to be on ABC this coming fall. And the scene in the upcoming ABC series Quantico that features a Mormon character wearing nothing but his LDS underwear will air as is, according to the president of the network. The producer writer of the series, on the other hand, held out the possibility that the scene might be changed before the show premieres Sunday, September 27th, and the folks at ABC clearly wish I'd, meaning the writer of this article, never written about it in the first place. Quantico is about a bunch of recruits who arrive at the FBI base in Virginia for training. They're assigned roommates, and one is surprised when he sees recruit Elder Packer. Eric Packer.
It's Elder Packer.
Yeah.
It's all right.
He served a mission, so changing his clothes and standing there in his temple garments. Faithful Mormons consider temple garments sacred and may find it offensive when they are displayed publicly, let alone as a plot point in a TV drama. ABC President Paul Lee dodged questions about it. When I asked him if ABC would do something that offended Jews or Muslims, Lee replied, "What you're going to find is that many of the characters in this come from different faiths and behave in ways that are not necessarily in keeping with their faiths. That's fine, but it's not an answer to the question." Anyway, so they are aware, the producers are aware, that it may be offensive to people. The reason that they wanted to put Mormon characters in the show is because there are actually quite a few Mormon recruits at Quantico. They wanted to like reflect that, but then you find out, that's a spoiler alert, so I won't say anything, but the character in the pilot is not the last Mormon that we will meet in Quantico, and it's possible that the garment scene may never air. We're reshooting stuff, so wait and see what's in the final cut, he said. He being Saffron. I don't know. So
having garments on TV, does it bother you?
Like
you prefer that they don't, but are you like, ugh?
I just don't see why it's necessary. They said in the article that they just wanted to portray what the character would be doing and wanted to make it as realistic so that if the character were changing clothes, he really would be standing there in his garments. I don't understand why that's really necessary if they know that it's going to be offensive. I used to find stuff like that terribly offensive. Mm-hmm. And I now subscribe to the no unhallowed hand theory and don't worry so much about it. But I do think it is interesting because it is kind of in vogue right now to, if something would be offensive to Mormons, no big deal because we know they'll let it slide. Whereas other religions where we are really sensitive to doing things that might be offensive to them. Hmm. So my preference would be that they just leave it out. But I don't.
That was one of my big things with Book of Mormon musical. If you remember me talking about it, that was one of the things that I took issue with.
That bothered you. Yeah. Well, I remember there was a show, I can't remember which show it was, and it was a Law and Order type of show, and I think we've discussed it in the past, where one of the characters had, you know, like a mental disorder, and his mommy took care of him, and she'd say, "Are you making sure that you're wearing your garmies?" And I just thought, that's so weird. Nobody talks like that. But that one bothered me. But I think it would bother me a little bit, but I also kind of throw up my hands and be like, you know what?
I can get really super upset about this or...
Yeah.
I think, well, there are a couple different perspectives I'm taking for this. One is, that just looks like bike shorts and a tank top, just like you told me it would.
Right.
But another thing is, I think that if there is a culture that you're not familiar with, as an artist, as a creator of art, you have probably a responsibility to thoroughly research what you're creating. And if you get to a point where you're going to portray something for accuracy's sake, and you research and you find out, well, that is likely to be offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it definitely is, or, you know, but this is something sacred and it is likely to be offensive. I think it says a lot about what you do from that point forward.
Right. Because we're all giving him the benefit of the doubt that he had no idea that it was sacred and wasn't
doing it. No, he did. He did.
Intentionally.
He did because...
it'll get people talking about it.
This person... now it's not coming back up.
You know,
said that like the guy who wrote this show was raised by, it says he was partially raised by a couple of Mormon women. So he does have some exposure to the religion. Hmm. So,
yeah.
What's your opinion to you, Richie?
I don't know. I'll have to watch it. Yeah. I tend to give a pass too if I'm watching it and I go, oh, that was a vital thing to it. I tend to go, okay, maybe I'm not comfortable with it, but I don't see how they could have done that differently, or was it malicious in the way that they do it? I try and put it in context. Hearing it and not ever watching it, I just go, eh, come on, can you not do that? Can we not? Oh, you're going to?
I'm not
going to lose a lot of sleep over it.
And at this point, I also think... with all the talk about it, I think there will be a lot of people who tune in and think that they're going to see something really spectacularly secretive,
right,
and be like, what? Wait, I missed that or something.
So back when Big Love was a thing and they did the temple ceremony thing, they showed temple ordinance wear on their episode. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I was sick about it. Like, it really made me feel... panicky and sick about it. And I think that was one of the turning points for me where I just had to be like, that I'm not doing that. And I can't stop them from doing that. And if God wanted to stop them from doing that, he could. It's their choice. It's between him and them. And
God could stop them from doing it?
If he wanted to.
Right, couldn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he could, like, strike him dead or something.
Burn the film?
Yeah.
Files?
But he won't.
No.
He won't.
Yeah, he won't.
But he could.
Sure, he could.
Don't challenge God. He could if he wanted to.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not challenging God.
Like, he won't. And so,
right.
Obviously, it's something that I can...
But he could if he wanted to.
I don't know, why don't you tell me?
I don't shut up. I grow
no,
up.
You shut up.
When I look at you, I throw up.
I think the offense to be, if there's offense to be taken, I tend to be kind of like, well, so what? Shoot. But I do think that if there's offense to be taken, it would not be in having written that into the script, but rather having written it into the script, having found out this is offensive. This isn't, you know, we're asking you to please not.
And going ahead anyway.
Yeah.
Two other things just real quick. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints broke ground this last Saturday on a first-of-its-kind St. George Family Search Library. Elder Alan F. Packer of the Church's First Quorum of the 70 presided over the groundbreaking of the library, along with local and civic and faith-based guests. The library will offer free ancestry research services along with family-friendly experiences. The release said it's slated to open in the fall of 2016. The state-of-the-art facility will be 13,000 square feet and contain interactive technologies and activities that can be continued in the home. According to the release, patrons will have access to the most current research resources online, as well as a staff of 150 staff members. This thing, so huge, huge, big deal. The current St. George Family Research Library will remain open until the new facility has been completed, and you can see pictures of that at theculturalhall.com.
Speaking of temples.
Yeah, are we going to do it?
Mexico City.
Yeah.
Mexico.
Open to the public. If you're in or around Mexico City, you can go ahead and tour it. And the public is invited to experience a guided tour of its interior. Offered August 14th through September 5th. Monday.
And then closed and dedicated, I think, the second week in September.
Mm-hmm.
So people can check that out.
Yeah.
Let's go. Road trip, Mexico City.
All right.
Yeah, sounds good. Do you need a passport to go to Mexico now?
Yeah.
The history of the church in Mexico traces back to 1875 when Brigham Young, then president of the church, sent Daniel Jones, along with a small group of missionaries, to Mexico City, where they distributed brochures to several Mexican leaders. One of these brochures fell into the hands of Plotino. Oh, that's not a Spanish name. I don't know. Who later became the first member of the church in Mexico.
It's not a Spanish name?
Not that last name.
German?
R-H-O-D-A-C-A-N-A-T-Y.
Rodocanati.
You say that like you know the guy.
I know, right? It's a brother Rodocanati.
Oh, you know, what is that? Hey, hey, that guy.
Rodocanati, hey. We miss you.
Yeah. Good job, Mexico. Ole, ole, ole.
Way to go, Mexico. BYU running back Jamal Williams has withdrawn from BYU. Did we talk about this in last week's articles news? I can't remember when it came out.
Is that sports?
He has planned to redshirt the 2015 season. He will not rejoin the Cougars. He's going to go to a different school, which is a huge loss for BYU. There have been other parodies about other members of the BYU team leaving. But the idea is, or the thought is that he withdrew and didn't want to go to BYU anymore because of honor code issues, right? So now, because it was an honor code issue, anytime this happens, it comes about where it's like, should BYU drop the honor code for its athletes? Is it an unrealistic expectation to have on people who aren't members of the church or whatever? From Bronco Mendenhall, the head football coach of BYU, he says, "It was my decision on Jamal. I love Jamal. He'll be back and absolutely will make the best of the situation. Our team loves him and I love him. The option for all parties was for him to withdraw and then we get him back. It will work out just right." Now, obviously, he's not coming back, but the hope is for Jamal anyway that with withdrawing, because of the way the NCAA works, he has to redshirt a year so he can play somewhere else. So that he's not just transferring schools to get a better opportunity. So speculation as to what he did, honor code, are flying, won't be shared here, but a big hit to the BYU football team. And then I want to share this. Well, actually, how many more stories do you have?
Three
more stories? Jeez.
Two of them go together.
Okay.
And how many more do you have? I can have one more or cut it.
Let's do the two together.
The two together? Okay. Elder Oaks encourages BYU graduates to serve. Elder Dallin H. Oaks.
To serve. Not to surf.
No. Do you know about this?
No, but okay. I was going to be really cool.
A friend who was there was texting me and was like, I don't think it was this talk specifically, but someone else was talking about the importance of going forward and after graduation and serving, but they were totally saying surf the whole time.
Go for it and surf.
Yep. Encouraged graduates to use their education to serve others. This was last Thursday, August 13th, at the Provo campus. Quote, "The gaining of knowledge and skills is an incomplete view of the significance of education. Of even greater importance is the question of how those attainments are to be used. You should remember that those whose sacrifices have supported your education expect you to use that education in the service of your fellow men and in furtherance, thank you, of your own becoming what God created you to become." Close quote. Oh, and this other thing. Selfishness is replacing service. The fundamental freedoms of speech and religion are being questioned. That's as he acknowledged that the students that are graduating are facing challenging times ahead. So go ahead and check out how BYU graduation went at theculturehall.com. And graduation happened, so you know what that means, Provo.
Education week?
It's education week, a perfect time to close one of two eastbound lanes on Center Street. Well done. And also
what
some
is
of
education week for people who don't know.
Okay, education week is a week. Actually, it's probably right here in this article here. BYU Campus Education Week, which first began in 1922, is now one of the largest continuing education programs of its type, offering more than 1,000 classes on education, religion, marriage and family, the arts, history, genealogy, communication, and much more. Classes are designed primarily for adults, although anyone age 14 and older is welcome to attend. The more than 200 presenters are faculty from BYU, instructors from seminaries and institutes of religion, and other experts in their fields. This week, Elder Neil L. Anderson will speak at the devotional during Education Week, which will be streamed live on LDS.org. The theme of Education Week is lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, from Hebrews 6:18-19. According to the class program, in these trying times, it brings great comfort to anchor ourselves to Christ and feel the hope that His atonement provides. President Boyd K. Packer taught, as we move into the future with quiet confidence, His Spirit will be with us. There is no end to His power to bless and direct the lives of those who seek truth and righteousness.
And that's going on this week.
Yeah, starting today. So,
I'm done driving
everywhere that I need to drive around town because
it's
I don't want to...
Sundance Film Festival of Provo.
Oh, my gosh. Except that isn't the Sundance... Never mind.
Film Festival in Provo?
Well...
No.
I know it's not in Provo, but there are events that happen at Sundance, and a lot of people fly into Provo instead of Salt Lake. So that's a thing, too.
That's a cool story. Tell me about the grocery store. No?
Love at home.
Check this out, what I found in my pocket.
What? Whoa.
It's your sense of humor. You can have it back. There you go. You don't want it?
Nope. Not today.
Not today, pal. Womp. You can get tickets for $69 or $59 for Tuesday through Friday. And it's ce.byu.edu.
And check it out. There, I'm guessing that in addition to Tuesday's devotional, there are probably other... classes.
Over 1,000 classes.
That will be streamed or available online later for digital consumption.
There's 8:30, 9:50. There's like 6 different class sessions every day. Oh my God.
Yeah. Don't even try and like just skim the program. It's intense.
History of the Saints, the quest for humility, the Council at Adam on Diamond, stress management.
Am I the only Mormon that's never been to Education Week?
I've never been. I'm too busy. I haven't done it yet. Oh. I will.
Yeah, I'm too busy too. That's why I don't go.
I had to find Jenny's sense of humor, and that took a little while. You want another cookie? Will that help you?
I see it.
Okay.
I see that cookie looking at me.
Let me share this story with you, and then let's wrap it up. Are we done, or you got one
more? I've got one more.
What is it?
The one I told you about the other day.
I love it. Let's do it.
Oh, well, that one was mine too, so go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh.
Let's end on that one. Let me share mine with you real quick. Serious for a second. This happened in Spanish Fork Canyon over the weekend. I don't know if you guys heard about it.
Yeah.
Community in Emory County writes this article, is mourning the loss of a young boy and his mother. They died in a two-vehicle collision on U.S. Highway 6 in Spanish Fork Canyon. Troopers say that the impact killed 38-year-old Heather Jacobson and her 7-year-old son, Brock Jacobson, of Cleveland, Utah. The driver, Landon Jacobson, and his son, 16-year-old Bodie Jacobson, are in serious to critical condition at Utah Valley Regional Medical Center. Troopers said that the Jacobson family was heading home through Spanish Fork Canyon when a car pulled out in front of them. They say Jacobson tried to swerve but couldn't avoid the oncoming Dodge Intrepid. The truck and horse trailer ended up going off the side of Highway 6 into a ravine. The horse trailer dislodged and went into the back of the truck at the time. The three horses that were in the trailer suffered injury. Troopers said there is a good line of sight at the intersection of Highway 89 and U.S. 6. They still need more details for their investigation. The Utah Highway Patrol said the driver of the gray Intrepid was 25-year-old Amelia Allen of Provo, who also suffered critical injuries. So, you will probably see this week, once we get it set up, an opportunity, if you feel so inclined, to be able to donate to this family. My wife went to elementary, middle school, and high school with the woman who passed away. So Heather Jacobson and her son Brock, who passed away, and like I said, husband in the hospital. So if you wonder why, I mean, there's a lot of opportunities for us to do things like that we don't necessarily take and do things with, but that's why we are with this particular one. Excuse me. And now, let's have a modesty argument.
Who's arguing?
Me? I think modesty is, in fact, hottest.
Ready to...
Well, you put your shoulders away, ladies. You put your shoulders away.
You can't handle me now.
Big article that's been circulating the internet
now for
probably 3-4 days. Right?
Julie Diaz-Avedo Hanks. You know who her dad is.
Yeah, Lex.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of Diaz-Avedos that aren't related. And she's an amazing counselor as well.
She is, yeah. She just got her doctorate, I think, last year. So she talks about how, and we'll have the link here at theculturalhall.com, modesty is a loaded term, particularly within an LDS context. And she shares a story of when she was at a pool. Was that where she was? A community pool. And she heard these boys talking. She knew they were LDS. That is so immodest, one boy said, shaking his head in disbelief at the bathing suit choice of a young woman in the neighborhood. His friends nodded in agreement. And this is funny because it sounds like an article in the New Era, but you know that this actually happened. No way. I can't believe she'd wear a two-piece bathing suit to a church activity. It's so inappropriate. Hearing all of this, I couldn't help but give my two cents. I approached them and asked them, have you ever thought of the possibility that modesty is not just about what girls wear, that it also includes how you think, behave, what you feel, and what your heart is focused on?
No, shut up.
That's exactly what they said to her. With their full attention, I continued, do you know that modesty is also about you? It is about checking yourself and making sure that how you feel, think, and act is an accurate reflection of who you want to be. Modesty is not about judging others. And if you think about it, Jesus didn't teach anything about one or two-piece swimsuits, but he taught a lot about the dangers of judging others and being prideful. Just something to think about. Drop mic. Boom. There you go. So she has a lot to say about modesty, and she actually came up with there's a graphic available, the 10 tips for balancing modesty.
I love it.
Discussions.
It's a list. Give it to me.
Okay. Here it is. Number one, reflect on your own attitude and behavior. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the first thing. Come on, computer. Do you have it right there?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Number two.
Yeah, here it is. Reflect on your own attitudes and behavior. Number two, offer an expanded definition of modesty. It's not just about swimsuits. And if I may, sidebar, quick, one-piece swimsuit for girls. If you have to go to the bathroom, there is maybe, for a young girl, there are a few things more humiliating than having to pull down an entire one-piece swimsuit and sit wet on a toilet, just all naked. That is really uncomfortable for
a young girl.
Didn't
think of that, did you?
Boy. Right?
Just kidding. Anyway, maybe
a zipper around the waist.
Good idea. What number were we on?
Three.
Lead conversations about how the principle of modesty applies to males. So that we don't fall into the trap of thinking that modesty is just something that males need to be policing females about.
Right. That's a huge one.
The
conversation has started to happen, but isn't happening fast enough.
Or often enough. Number four, reach out to the youth. Make sure that these young men don't become old men who...
perpetuating the problem.
Exactly.
And make sure that everyone knows they're welcome regardless of what they're wearing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I can't...
Except for that one guy.
I can't stress that enough.
Well, because he... wearing socks and sandals.
Yeah,
so.
You can't. That is immodest no matter where.
Ooh, shoulders. I can't control myself.
Distracted.
I'm just showing you my shoulders, y'all. Number five, notice when you are judging someone else's level of modesty and use that as an opportunity to reflect on yourself. Number six, emphasize that modesty is about how you want to present yourself. When teaching the youth to help them reflect on what kind of appearance feels congruent to them, what message do they want to send to others? Number seven, avoid using language that implies responsibility for another person's thoughts, feelings, and behavior. Help the young women understand that appearance sends a message about who they are based on their culture and that it has influence on others, but they are never responsible for another person's thoughts, feelings, or behaviors.
I'm going to break out in song.
Right? In other words, you do not say to a young woman or a young girl or a young man or any person, are you sure you want to wear that? That will make so-and-so think or do this.
Got to keep Johnny on his path to his mission.
Don't get me
Started.
Number eight. Teach the cultural context of modesty. And this is very important. Help them understand that our current specific modesty guidelines are not fixed. Are not fixed, but are inspired recommendations based on what specific clothing and appearance means in our era and culture. Share examples of other cultures that give different meaning to clothing that the United than the United States. For example, in Polynesian cultures, men wear lava lava, large pieces of cloth tied as a skirt, and in some traditional African tribal communities, it is common for women not to wear a top. Number nine.
You're modest.
Number nine, speak up against body shaming. When you read, see, or hear people shaming a woman for her appearance or clothing choice, do not jump on the bandwagon. Be a voice of reason and of compassion in all conversations about other women. I'm going to say that again. Be a voice of reason and of compassion in all conversations about other women. And number 10.
Number 10.
Focus on the doctrine behind the principle of modesty. It is important for us to understand the why behind the application. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says that our bodies and our spirits are gifts from God, and he wants us to use them to glorify him.
You can find a link to that at theculturalhall.com.
Go read it.
Make sure you guys send me the links that you have, because I only have the links that I had, obviously.
Don't you know what I did? Jenny's already done it. I found it. Well, I was not paying attention and looking at the Cultural Hall panel.
On Facebook?
On Facebook.
A thing that nobody that's
our
listening to this can get.
No, they cannot.
Yep.
Sorry, guys. You had like 1.5 minutes of opportunity to find this last month, and it didn't happen.
But if you want to be a writer for the Cultural Hall, we are currently looking for other writers, people that if you have a unique story, your path to Mormonism or your path in Mormonism or... you're smart about something else? I don't know. We'll take whatever. Give me an idea what you want to write about. I bet I'll let you write it. Richie@theculturalhall.com. Again, follow us on all the social medias that we do, and leave a review if you feel so inspired. You can do that on iTunes, or you can also do it on Stitcher. That's a great way to get it. And look. In the very short coming, next probably week or so, we'll have that new website up for people to be able to check
out.
So that will be great as well. If you've had difficulties with the website in the past, you'll love the new layout, or at least you'll like it more than what we have now. You may not love it, but you'll like it more. I think that's it, right? Should we wrap it up?
Sure.
We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
We hope that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety.
And that those... who couldn't listen this week will be able to listen next week.
I found this big old sack of names that you dropped. Jenny, what do you want me to do with them?
Chuck them out with my sense of humor.
Oh. Oh, man. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row of the cultural hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat.